AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Matt, Eric here today. Eric, have you had a chance to get out there into the sunshine?
Not really. Kind of been locked in the dungeon.
It is warm out there, and I can tell you right now that without a doubt, if this stretch holds true, we're going to have pretty warm water here by the end of Memorial Day weekend. I'm not saying I'm going to run in and go to a dip in the big lakes, but in a small lake, I wouldn't be against it. That's for sure. So, it's looking really nice out there. Did you see the story? We got apparently bear running over in Burnsville. Did you see that one?
No, I must have missed it.
Folks, I want to explain something to you about bears, okay? There are bears. If you go down by Minnehaha Creek, past Minnehaha Falls, right in downtown, in Minneapolis proper, just south of the downtown in the river area there. If you go down there, I've had friends say that there are bears down there. I've had friends say that the bears are down there. And there are bears everywhere. You don't see them because a lot of times bears basically kind of keep to themselves. But now we got them apparently roaming Burnsville, going over and knocking over bird feeders and such like that. So it's not a dog, for God's sakes. All right. It isn't a dog. And you shouldn't go on out there and treat it like it's a dog. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We're hoping, I'm going to put a quick message out here to Cliff Schechter. We're hoping that he's going to be able to join us, on the air here and, talk to us, about this whole thing with the blowing up of the North Korean, situation there. I'm trying to send him the number here for the call in line. This is the stuff that we did. For some reason we lost the number for him, and the number I have for him doesn't work anymore. So we're gonna try to get Cliff Schechter on the air. I told him to call the one line. Okay, all right. So hopefully we'll have that come through, and hopefully he'll give us a ring because I don't know. He said call the regular number, and that's what I did, and it's not working. So 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. A few years back, I was part of – do you want to know why this whole thing blew up, why this thing with Trump did? Because I had a similar experience to this. Years ago, I was in my kid's school, about 8 years ago, I was with my kid's school PTO actually. And what happened was they wanted to do this fundraiser that it was a meal. And if you've ever done fundraisers where there's meals, these things get to be pretty heavy duty. They get to be, crazy as far as details go. And they wanted to do stuff with the kids, and it was going to be, oh man, it was just going to be a nightmare. It was going to be real tough, and was not looking forward to it. What ends up happening is we ended up pulling it off. It ended up being a wildly successful experience. And about 2 weeks beforehand, when it became clear that this was going to work, that this guy McNeil had pulled this off, that he'd gotten all the donations, he'd coordinated the time, he basically had people there to cook, he had people there to serve, he had people there to clean up. This was going to work. All of a sudden, at the last second, one of the wealthier parents from the school district walks in and goes, "I'll take it from here." And of course, with me, oh, that went over real well. Oh, that went over real well. And needless to say, I basically said, "The heck with you! No way! No, I'm. It's my project. I've done this. I worked really hard. The rest of my team worked really hard. We managed to pull this off. And so, no, we're not going to give you the win at the last second. We're not going to let you come on in here and spike the football at the last second." In this situation. So needless to say, that's exactly what's happened with Trump. North Korea had worked with South Korea. And I want to remind people, as much as, okay, so Trump's daughter, Ivanka, shook his hand at the closing ceremony. But the vice president of the United States at the opening ceremony refused to even acknowledge he was there. I mean, he absolutely refused to even acknowledge that he was there. And it was, yeah, it was, you know, it's kind of one of those things where for whatever the reason, you know, Pence decided, okay, I'm not going to be the nice little diplomat. I'm not going to be the nice guy. I'm not going to be the decent one. And since I'm on the Korean Peninsula, and these were games that were hosted by the North and South Koreans, that I was going to be somewhat decent and respectful. He didn't do that. And so when you talk about this thing, when you talk about this thing and you think about the setup here, this was South Korea and China. And then Trump comes in at the last second and tries to push his way into this thing and ends up blowing it up. We got Cliff there. Beautiful. Cliff Schechter is kind enough to join us today. Cliff, we'll have to talk off air about your phone. For some reason, it's kind of, I don't know. It might be me, but my bad on that one, of course. Cliff Schechter is the founder, president of the PR firm Libertas LLC. He's advised campaigns, political organizations run by former President Bill Clinton, Vice President Al Gore, and the author of the 2008 bestseller, The Real McCain, columnist for The Daily Beast. And he put out the funniest comment this morning in regards to, when's exactly that Nobel Peace Prize time for Trump?
I just wanted to know so I could schedule some time to watch the ceremony, you know? I mean, just checking it out, right?
I have never seen, in Washington, D.C., there's horses before carts, but I've never seen anything like that. They minted a coin for this, which, by the way, you can't buy. They're selling it today on the White House gift shop. And it crashed the site. So many people wanted to buy one, a symbol of Trump's ineptitude. You can't get up on the White House gift shop website and buy one. I've tried like 8 times.
I mean, that may be like the smartest move. Trump should think about that for the future. He fails at so many things. He may just want to create a coin for every one of them. And then everybody who hates him will want to buy a coin. There's an easier way to get rich than selling information to the Russians.
that will be enough coins for its own economy at that point. I mean, if we're going to go with every failure,
I apologize about the phone, by the way. I don't know what happened there.
Well, don't worry. I'll take the heat on that. We'll talk about that later. But I want to ask you a question. In your opinion, John Bolton, a lot of people, the new national security advisor, a lot of people are very speculative that he personally derailed this negotiation, that he, that what happened is when he brought up the Libya, proposal, the Libya standard, where basically they had to give up everything before we would negotiate, that was a no-go. And the reason why is, well, Muammar Gaddafi, last we saw, was killed in the streets by his own people. So that's, that no person with nuclear weapons is going to go down that standard because they don't want the same outcome. Henceforth, the fact that Bolton proposed it, a lot of people thought he was trying to torpedo the negotiations. What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, knowing his politics and knowing, what kind of a guy he is, I would almost certainly be sure of that. I'm even more suspicious. I mean, listen, we're in an age right now where if you don't have things that used to sound like conspiracy theories or not your beliefs about the Trump administration, you're missing stuff, right? I mean, think of everything we know about what he's done and all the stuff on Russia and this and that. So when it comes to Bolton, I'm suspicious enough to believe that the whole thing was a setup from the beginning. Right. I mean, you can saber rattle a lot more if you plan something and then you can get to blame the other guy for ruining it. Right. So, we were going to do this, but now they screwed it up. And maybe, for all I know, that was the plan from the beginning. Right. Is to get everybody's hopes up. And then you could pin it on Kim Jong-un for failing and causing the thing to get canceled. And now we can saber rattle that much more. But I'm sure Bolton has a nefarious role that he's played in this. I mean, that's what he does. He starts wars. He should have that on his forehead, or maybe he should shave that into his mustache.
That's actually pretty good. I disagree with you on this. I think that for Trump, he desperately wanted this piece, you know, at least the negotiation. He wants that shaking of the hands. He likes playing president. Hence, the coin was already out. And he was already having his ego stroked by 18 Republicans that were trying to put his name in for the Nobel Peace Prize. Although, basically, the Nobel Peace Prize submissions are due by the end of February, so they were way behind. But needless to say,
well, these are 18 Republican congressmen with a combined IQ of 220. So you do have to work that in there.
I think Trump really wanted this because he's been so desperate for a win, even stuff which for him with his own party should be an easy layup, like the ag bill. That's not happened. The tax cuts haven't happened. He's now desperately going into, I'm going to be the most abortion restrictive president ever. And oh, by the way, we're going to have a tax cut in November as a way to try to grand prize on the showcase showdown.
Abortion and tax cuts. Yeah, for everyone. I mean, I think I wasn't clear. See, my theory was that Bolton did that, okay. Not Trump. I do think Trump wants the deal. I think Trump wants any deal. I mean, as we know, like, again, he sells himself as a deal maker when really he's just terrible. He'll make any deal with anybody just to make it look like he's successful. No, I feel like Bolton played on that, right, and pushed for it to happen and then made sure it didn't happen. So people would be so angry and feel like North Korea caused it that maybe he gets the war he wants. So that's what I was trying to say. Mm. Not that Trump never planned on doing it. I think Trump desperately wants it. Mm-hmm. I think Bolton's been manipulating him because Bolton, for all of his evil, is easily three times as smart as Trump because Trump's as smart as a child. You know,
Pence. Do you think
not a smart child at that?
Do you think Pence is in with Bolton because Pence seems to be pretty hardline with North Korea himself?
I do. I think he's got a. I think it's for different reasons, but I think Pence obviously has that scary, almost apocalyptic, if I can speak, worldview, where his God is going to smite North Korea. I mean, I really do think he may be that much of a lunatic, on sort of the Sarah Palin level when it comes to the religious fundamentalism. So I wouldn't be surprised if, he wants it to happen too, just because he thinks that that's God's plan. He was all for me. He was a big Iraq war booster from the very beginning, just like Bolton was. And he couched it when he was, then this is back when Pence was in Congress, and he's a member of the House from Indiana. And he couched that stuff, if you'll look back, in lots of crazy religious rhetoric. And he was sure they had nuclear weapons and weapons of mass destruction. He was as sure as anybody in the Bush administration. I mean, yes, I do think he's a hardliner, and I think he'd love to see that war too. I mean, again, these are not rational people. Mm-hmm. You're not dealing with the fact that North Korea, it's not even what they could do to us, potentially reaching us with missiles. So, I mean, Seoul, what does Seoul have, 10 million people? I mean, it's an enormous city, right? It may be a little smaller than that, but it's a big city. And they can level it from where they are. They've got artillery buried in the mountains, that they can shoot at. We couldn't hit every one of our targets. It would be almost impossible. You leave a couple and Seoul is destroyed. Mm-hmm. And that's not even counting the nuclear weapons and everything else they can launch. And now we're not even talking about Tokyo. I mean, think about some of the populations of some of the cities that are easily in reach and the number of people that they could kill. It's insane. But, I mean, again, we're dealing with that level. We're dealing with the people that were considered the far-right fringe nuts in the Reagan administration, the ultra-conservatives who were allowed in the room in the Bush administration, George W. Bush, and now in the Trump administration, they're the people running the show.
The Cliff Schechter joining us right now. Cliff, how much of this? Okay, so, South Korea and China basically get North Korea to the point where they're willing to talk about this. And it sure does look like there was sincerity between the South Koreans and the North Koreans to end this and get to the Korean Peninsula united once again. Trump comes barging in saying, I'm in charge now, and does this. How much of this did Kim Jong-un actually play Trump? I mean, he seems to have been outwitted by him on this because he seemed to know that all he had to do was have a bunch of guys not show up in Singapore for a preliminary meeting, and that was going to send Trump over the edge. And in firing off this letter, which once again, the South Koreans had no idea this letter was coming. This whole thing is off. The South Koreans had no idea that was coming. Did Kim Jong-un, did he basically play Trump?
I think somebody did. Again, that's the question, right? Or yeah. Really, I guess they're not mutually exclusive. I mean, Bolton could have been playing him from one end. Kim Jong-un could have been playing him from another end. The South Koreans could have been. I mean, I think they legitimately want to reunite, as you said. Obviously, I think they want peace. It's in their interest in every way. They're not led by lunatics that I can tell. So I assume they're being rational about this. But maybe there are reasons for them to play Trump and get him to jump in and take the heat when it falls apart. You know, we're not talking like 14-dimensional chess here. We're talking about barely checkers, maybe tic-tac-toe. I mean, Trump is not – that's the danger of someone like Donald Trump in office. I mean, there's many dangers, but beyond the pure corruption and the rest, there's a reason why, Vladimir Putin marked this guy, and there's a reason why likely we're going to find out from Mueller. We certainly found out from numerous articles that, he's been dealing with the Russians now since the 80s, and they realized what an easy dupe he was because his vanity and his stupidity are both obvious for anybody to see. Tell him he's a genius, and he'll do anything you want him to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, this is not difficult. So there's varying agendas there, and it doesn't just have to do with the pure sort of will North Korea and South Korea get back together, but under what circumstances? What will the deal be, right? And all that kind of stuff. And so any number of these guys could be playing Trump, making him take the fall for things they don't want to take the fall for, making him look bad. I mean, causing war because they can use him for that. I mean, that's the danger. Again, I'm not saying like that. I think I'm never a cult of like, oh, the military guys, but McMaster and Mattis and some of these guys. I felt a hell of a lot more comfortable when there are people there who at least I figured understood the game that was being played. You know what I mean? Now yeah. we have these sort of belligerent amateurs like Bolton. It's hard to know exactly what's going on. But again, look, if there was a 5% chance, which maybe there was, that something good would come out of this, I was rooting all for it. Because, unlike the right, that couldn't care less about our country and clearly and who runs our elections, who interferes in them, if our country wins and our country, creates peace, that's good for everybody. So even if Trump was the one who did it accidentally, I was for it. But, in the end here, you still have to be pretty suspicious the whole time that someone someone with the lack of stability of Trump mentally and rest, and with somebody who does so many stupid things, that this somehow was going to fall apart.
Clearly the Republicans were only looking for this for the celebration afterwards, not for the actual peace, which is the real crime. But looking at Trump's scorecard, okay, the Chinese trade deal, that fell apart. His renegotiation of NAFTA.
Now he wants to bail out Chinese companies because they're putting $500 million into his projects in Indonesia.
And then you got the NAFTA trade agreement. That's fallen apart because Canada and Mexico are like, no, we're not going to make this easy on you. The Mexican border wall, that's not going to happen. You have the North Korean talks falling apart. You have the Iranian deal. I mean, the Europeans are intent on basically continuing this Iranian deal, and the Iranians, they basically feel as if this is something they could go with. And the only thing that he's trying to hang his hat on now is the moving of the embassy to Jerusalem, which basically destroyed the Middle East peace process. And he seems to be far more bothered and upset by the idea that these 57 Palestinians were shot at the border. He's angry at those people for getting shot because they seem somehow ruined his great day when he was going to move the embassy. This guy is so out of his league, it's not even funny at this point.
Yeah, I mean, look, he hangs his head on things that he can do unilaterally because he can't. It's not like Obama. He had to do stuff unilaterally at times, like Cuba and things, because the Republican Party literally would just reject anything he proposed just because it was from him. Trump's own party controls Congress, and he still can't get anything through. He literally can't get anything through Congress. So he got the one thing he got, which was his tax bill, which is so unpopular at this point because people have realized 83% of its benefits go to the wealthiest 1% in corporations, that most people get nothing, that the individual mandate being yanked out, as well as other things they've done, have led to premium increases. They're about to announce or have announced 17% here in Ohio. I'm sure it's similar in Minnesota. So, I mean, you know, everybody hates this bill now and hates him for doing it. So he's accomplished nothing. And again, look, Trump realized the weakness, and I think he instinctually realized it. He's not smart on a conscious level, but he's like an animal, right? He's got instincts. His instincts are always to go forward in a certain way. He knows what'll play, and he's got no shame. And that's the way you can hack our culture, because the media will cover it. So Trump realized long ago in business that if he stepped out and made a big announcement out front, no one would follow up later to find out whether he really actually did what he said he was going to do. Oh, I'm giving $1 million to this charity. And we saw the Washington Post reporter follow up on that during the election. He never actually gave to what? If he picked 100 of the charities he said he would give it to, 98 of 100 he never did?
Yeah.
You know, he made a big business announcement. He's going to do this at the Taj Mahal, whatever. 5-10 years later, the thing crashes. He doesn't pay off his vendors. He doesn't pay off his shareholders. He leaves everybody else holding the bag. This is the story of his life. Mm-hmm. So why would his politics, what he does here, be any different? Huge announcements. I'm going to do this. Oh, I'll solve North Korea. I'll solve the Middle East. Healthcare is going to be taken away. This or that. But unless he can do it unilaterally, he's not a leader. He can't make good deals. He can't make any deals. He can't get his own people to follow him. Everybody thinks he's basically crazy and a crank. And even people in his own party when they're off the record, and some of them on the record. So in the end, what do you have left? I mean, there is nothing he can actually get accomplished. So he'll make lots of big announcements. The press, some people in the press will be stupid enough to report some of what he says, but you follow up 6 months later, see what's actually happened. That's where the proof is in the pudding, and where, again, 98, 99 out of 100 times he's failed.
It looks like Europe's going to try to continue with the Iranian deal. I'm going to believe right now that the Chinese and South Koreans are scrambling. If they pull together this peace deal with North Korea without the United States, we are starting to look like isolationists again, which didn't work too well for us the last time we were isolationists. But it's not because of a choice.
World War II, that was a good thing. Right?
You know, it wasn't. This is not by choice. This is basically the world's kind of omitting us at this point.
Well, it's not by choice of most of our populace. It's by a choice that, if we're going to go by former CIA director Clapper has to say, the Russians helped Donald Trump win because they easily could have clearly swung more than 80,000 votes in three states. They got this guy's installed. The president has a lot of power when it comes to treaties and certainly diplomatic relations. He can blow up with one tweet, which he does all the time. And so, yes, it's not by choice day in and day out, but we as a country, we were hacked. We had things happen, but we chose this lunatic. He's there, and so that choice has led the rest of the world to shun us. I mean, there's been plenty of talk and articles and whatever about this already. The Germans and Angela Merkel and others have said that we're on our own now. We can't rely on the United States anymore. They're not a reliable partner. This would just be another sort of another point proving that. Mm-hmm. And yet again, the United States has been sidelined. The United States is not a valuable partner, and frankly, we're just. We're a ship floating in the ocean at this point.
Yeah, we are.
Wherever the wind will take us. There's no direction. There's no mooring. There's no, we are not someone that anybody wants to work with or rely on. And why would they?
No.
When this guy's running the show. So I think we'll be back, hopefully. I think, hopefully whoever it is who follows this guy, eventually can get us to a point where, we're fooling ourselves when we think that long-term damage hasn't been done. And even if we come out of this with no countries being nuked or no massive sort of displacement or God knows what, economic crashes, that still we're going to pay the price for this for a long time.
Absolutely.
Other countries aren't going to just forget that this guy was our president.
Absolutely. Cliff, thank you very much. Better late than ever. And by God, you are brilliant today. We'll spotlight this interview. Cliff Schechter, once again, read him in the Daily Beast occasionally there. And of course, Unprecedented, the podcast, that's still going there. And you guys, when's the new stuff get posted here?
It was just up today. We had Sarah Kendzior, who is an anthropologist from St. Louis area, who wrote about Central European or Central Asian autocratic regimes. And it was very easy for her to jump into analyzing Trump after that background. She's a journalist, a columnist for Globe and Mail. You'll see her on Twitter. She's very popular, very smart. So we had her on today. That's up. And I encourage people, hopefully, to go check it out.
Unprecedented is the podcast. I will link to the podcast later on as well. Cliff Schechter, thank you very much. I appreciate the time, my friend.
Thanks so much, Matt. I appreciate your having me on.
You got it. We'll take a break. Come on back. A quick segment when we return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, Gregory Rich, host of Drink in the Style and owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design in St. Louis Park. I've got a question for you guys. Are you familiar with the concept of OPM, or other people's money? It's essentially using someone else's cash to buy what you want. Well, this week, Habitation is offering you a chance to use someone else's money to buy the furniture you want today. From May 23rd through May 29th, Habitation is offering 0% interest on all new in-stock and all special order items for a full 4 years. Seriously, that's 4 years of free financing. Zero, zip, nada, nothing. That means you can buy $5,000 worth of furniture for about $100 a month with absolutely no interest. So come out to Habitation at 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park to check out the coolest furniture showroom in town. Our prices are always great, but this financing deal is for a limited time only. Habitation Furnishing and Design, you've earned the right to be you. Some restrictions apply.
Lowry Hill Meats, your neighborhood full-service butcher shop that works directly with family farms. Using whole animals gives Lowry Hill Meats the benefit of preparing custom cuts and dry aging. They offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, and poultry, including whole duck, roasting hens, turkey, quail, pheasant, and Cornish hens. Their sausages are made fresh in-house weekly using 40 rotating recipes. Try their handcrafted sandwiches. They are second to none. Lowry Hill Meats is located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis or online at lowryhillmeats.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Saturdays at 1 p.m., you have a chance at a fresh start, a new beginning. Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. for New Beginnings with Freddie Bell on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Craig's been waiting forever. Craig in Eden Prairie, let's get your call on in here. Thanks for holding, Craig.
Hey, Matt, thanks for having me on. I hadn't called in before. I've been listening for quite a while. I appreciate your insight.
Thank you, sir.
No, just a comment. I was listening to our neighbor to the north a little while ago and on the radio, and they had an ex-FBI agent, I guess, and talking to the interview, and the interview was going such that they're basically bringing up the Hillary emails and back to the two FBI agents that were going back and forth online. And I find it interesting how there's this, it seems like a media frenzy to kind of keep this back and forth thing going on. And, you know, quite honestly, like people say, they shouldn't be calling this Spygate, they should be calling it Liegate, you know. So I was just curious your comments on that. It seems very interesting that there's certain medias out there that you think are kind of a neutral position, which maybe I'm off on that. But I found it kind of another realization that our media is not really giving us a real even keel on what's going on out there.
Hey, Craig, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. Here's what I will say is that, no, this is part of the problem, is that people are still Benghazi. I mean, for God's sakes, pick an issue. For God's sakes, the president of the United States said ordered the Commerce Department to go prop up a Chinese cell phone company, which does not have any presence in the United States. And as a matter of fact, it's illegal for their cell phones to be on any U.S. military bases because they've been used for spying on America. That should warrant a looky-poo. But no, because, and you are going to see, as we get closer and closer, there's going to be screams because these Republicans have jammed their fingers in their ears. They're closing their eyes as tight as possible, and they're screaming at the top of their lungs, emails, FBI, ah! Because it's easier for them to do that, to accept the fact that they have backed up a rotten fruit. They have, that this guy is a rotten orange. We got, I want to just give you an update. Tomorrow, Chris Cluey is on with us. Cheryl Youakim is the Democrat of the day tomorrow. But coming up after the bottom of the hour break here, we're running a little late. Senator Ron Latz is going to join us. We're going to talk to him about the last session and the campaign to get the House back in the hands of the Minnesota DFL. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
It's home improvement season, and you know there's lots of projects to tackle. Here's one that won't break the budget. Get your carpet cleaned by Zero Res. If you have pets and kids banging around, you know your carpet needs some love. This month, get three rooms Zero Resified, starting at $139. Plus, this month, save $50 when you get your air ducts Zero Res clean. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res. Spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Hello, Richard from Auto Technical. Imagine life without a car, just getting to daycare, then to work on the bus. Do you have a car or truck to donate? We have families waiting for a reconditioned vehicle from Auto Technical. Your gift will change their lives. Remember, we recondition the vehicle so you'll receive a much higher tax deduction. 612-919-5526. Auto Technical.
Hi, this is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to the Wall of Power Radio Hour every weekend on AM 950. We are now in our third year of broadcasting on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. MinPost has called us one of the 22 most independently entertaining and cool radio shows in the Twin Cities. We feature cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states every Saturday at 6 p.m., replayed Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be mostly sunny with a high near 90. Tonight, a 60% chance of rain with half an inch possible. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 89. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 65. Saturday will be sunny with a high near 91.
The Nicollet Island Inn restaurant has been open for 36 years, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily for business, friends, or family. Ample parking on the only island on the Mississippi where you can dine and stay. Nicollet Island Inn, an historic hotel, restaurant, and bar on the island.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Bad Waitress, the 700 Central location, is the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. Northeast Minneapolis, fine location there. Great food. They've got the chicken and waffles, their take on it, with the roasted half chicken and the bourbon pickled jalapeno corn waffle. That's delicious. Great food. The entire menu can find at badwaitress.com. That's badwaitress.com. 700 Central Avenue in Northeast Minneapolis. Bad Waitress is the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Democrat of the day is a senator from District 46. Ron Latz is kind enough to join us today to talk about the session that was and how you can get out the vote and help the DFL coming in November. Senator, and he's also my senator, too. Senator Ron Latz, thank you very much for the time.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
My pleasure here. Your thoughts on the session here as it finished up?
Well, it was very frustrating. We had a lot of stuff that could have been done, that there was broad consensus on, but unfortunately the majorities in the House and the Senate insisted on sending the governor a supplemental budget bill that had a lot of poison pills in it. Governor said he's going to veto that bill. They dared him to do it. They sent it to him, and he did what he said he was going to do. So they shouldn't be surprised. The problem, of course, is there was a lot of good policy that we all agreed on that died along with the clunkers. So that was frustrating. The tax bill, they had a similar deal. They weren't willing to negotiate with the governor on it. They probably could have found some common ground there to deal with the federal tax conformity that was required. They didn't, and so the governor did what he said he was going to do there, too. He vetoed the tax bill. The bonding bill, still undecided. I guess the governor is going to announce tomorrow morning what he's going to do with that. Mm-hmm. The thing is, there's a lot of stuff that we did do mm-hmm. that didn't make the headlines necessarily. I mean, we passed a pension bill after several years of work that's going to stabilize a number of pensions across the state for public employees, from teachers to state government employees and so on. And we passed some other good things also. But unfortunately, there's a lot of other stuff that was kind of dumped into the budget bill, the omnibus bill.
I think the best way to describe how the Republicans think about doing things is similar to when a movie company has an R-rated film they want to get as a PG-13. What they do is they put out the raunchiest R version they can. They send that to the review board. When the review board says, oh, there's no way in the world we're putting this out as a PG-13, they come back and they start editing it down slightly until they get there. And that's how sometimes you get movies which are PG-13, which really should be R-rated films. That is how it seems that's what the Republicans do. Their starting point is the most extreme, far R-rated bill they possibly can get. And then they say, oh, well, then we'll come one or two steps back to you. But that's our version of compromise. Governor Dayton very clearly said there's 117 things in this monstrosity bill that had to come on out of it. They refused to take them out and acted as like taking 70 of the bad things, leaving 47 in there, was somehow compromise. That wasn't compromise because there was no compromising on those things. That was just stuff that the Republicans put in there. Is that a fair assessment on how the Republicans do things?
Well, that is a fair assessment of what they did this year. And they've got a track record of doing the same, although in the past they seem to have had some more actual conversations with the governor. This time it appears their method of negotiation was to simply decide what they're going to take out and toss the next offer back to the governor in the form of a new bill, which we don't have time to go back and forth with 10 different versions of the budget bill. What they should have been doing is sitting down with the governor and showing a willingness to say, you know, we can't accept this, but we can't accept that. And in the end, if we can't all agree on some stuff, maybe we need to just pass what we agree on. Mm-hmm. But the supplemental budget bill itself, we had a lot of fundamental problems. They cut agency budgets. We're in a year where we have a surplus, and they're cutting agency budgets. They're adding agency mandates without funding them. They had opioid budget crisis provisions in there, but they took it out of the general fund without putting any financial responsibility in the industry that contributed to causing the opioid crisis. Mm-hmm. They had elder care provisions in there that were written by the industry, didn't have any consumer protections in it for the residents. They had the tip credit for minimum wage in there, a highly contentious provision that the governor has rejected for years. They were going to circumvent the Public Utilities Commission regarding utility ratepayers and regarding the Enbridge Line 3. They had protest language that was way overbroad addressing the critical infrastructure. They prohibited MNLAR's funding from the DPS, so the department wouldn't even be able to use their general budget to try to straighten out the computer problems. They had a star rating system for public schools, which was also highly controversial. They had academic balance language that was very controversial, and they abolished the IT department for the state of Minnesota. So there's just a lot of stuff that was in there. The governor said a long time ago he wasn't going to accept it. So unfortunately, you know, the governor gets the last word. That's not unfortunate. That's a good thing.
Well, it is.
But unfortunately, the Republicans decided just to send it to him, adjourn, and go home and then dare him to veto it, basically, and that's what he did. He did what he said he was going to do, to his credit.
And thank God for Governor Dayton, or else we'd have Wisconsin right now. And I've seen plenty of studies showing how much better Minnesota is thanks to Governor Dayton. You brought up the interesting thing about elder care, the hands-free cell phone bill, the opiates. There have been some reports that the lobbyists descended upon the Republican caucus in the House and the Senate. I don't know how much you can share about that information, but was it that bad? It there were reports that basically when these bills were coming up, the gun industry as well, that basically the lobbyists descended upon the Republicans and got them all in line and henceforth killed bills, which were somewhat wildly popular, even bills that Republicans themselves up until a certain point were championing, but they basically decided to let fall by the wayside.
Well, I think that especially happened with the opioid provisions. The pharmaceutical industry flooded the Capitol with lobbyists, and they met individually with legislators. They didn't even testify at the hearings, from what I understand. The gun bills, it's a little different animal. There's basically one big lobbyist there at CNRA, and they've got, some local groups that all Minnesota-based groups also that are involved in that. And I don't think that was mostly lobbyists. I think that was they activated the grassroots, and they made legislators fear that they were going to lose support. And those, the gun bills, three of them were mine. I mean, I carried the criminal background check bill to close loopholes. I carried the bill for the extreme risk protection orders to get guns out of the hands of people that are in crisis. I carried the bill to increase the age to 21 for the purchase of firearms. They just wouldn't even give them a hearing. And 90% of the public supports those bills. Same with the hands-free cell phone. Broad public support for that would have saved a whole lot of lives if they'd passed that. I don't think that was so much a lobbyist issue. Although maybe it was that, we don't see everything above the radar that's going on over there. But we should have passed that, too. Elder care was a lobbyist issue. The nursing home industry did focus very heavily on the legislature, and basically the provisions that were in the budget bill for the governor to consider were written by the industry.
I want to, on behalf of myself, the station, and a lot of people out there, I want to actually thank you for your championing of common sense gun regulation in a day and age where we have daily slaughters in the United States of America. The fact that we are actually still have a case where 90% of us want this, and a handful of Republicans who are basically jamming as much NRA money in their pockets as they possibly can are holding this stuff up. Here you are fighting the good fight and just saying this is just common sense stuff, stuff that's legal to do, stuff that's not an overreach, stuff that will make us safer. And it was. I'm glad you fought. It was painful to watch it get negated so quickly and so easily by the Republicans. But thank God you're there at least fighting the good fight, my friend.
Well, thank you, Matt. We ran into the same kind of roadblock. I carried the net neutrality provisions, and I carried internet privacy again this year. And we couldn't even get a hearing. Couldn't even get a vote on the merits on those bills. Republicans blocked us at every turn. But eventually the public will prevail on these issues. It's going to take some more time, apparently.
Of course, the bonding bill you mentioned out there, there is some quirks out there. I was reading about one of the quirks. The Republican leadership attempts to use lottery money to pay bond obligations on wastewater treatment facilities and landfill reclamation. There are people that are kind of saying, no, that's not what that money is supposed to be for. You'd mentioned Republicans got really creative with shifting money around to basically, cover things they wanted to cover while, defunding things they didn't like. Do you think that bill is going to get vetoed overall, or do you think there'll be just a lot of line item vetoes in it?
If I were going to predict, I would think the governor is going to sign the bonding bill. Mm-hmm. There may be some line item vetoes in there. There is some inappropriate items there. I voted against the bonding bill for a number of reasons. It did not have any transit funding in there. It had over $500 million in trunk highway funds and other highway funds for roads and bridges, but not a penny for buses or other transit. It was a relatively low budget or bonding bill, only $825 million, which some would say is a lot, but we have the fiscal capacity in the state to go about twice that much, and we certainly have the need to maintain our infrastructure at a much higher level. One of the biggest needs was the higher education systems, the University of Minnesota and Minnesota State system, that have a lot of deferred maintenance from existing buildings. We should have doubled the amount of the money going toward shoring up our existing buildings. We were missing our local projects in my area also, nothing. So I didn't even have those to be able to bring in to support that bill. And there was a really wasteful funding mechanism in there. It would have cost $98 million to do one particular category of spending. But the way they shifted the kinds of bonds they were going to use, it'll cost an extra $46 million to pay them back. Just a lousy way to do it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of problems with the bonding bill. A lot of good projects in there, too, to be sure. And some questions about, some of the mechanisms that were being used to pay for them. But because I think there are a lot of good projects in there, I think ultimately the governor is going to go ahead and sign it.
It's the one quick way we can solve this mess, because even, Majority Leader Gazelka kind of avoided answering about his relationship with Kurt Dowd. One thing I think that could clean up this up a lot. I know you're not up for re-election until 2020, but of course the Minnesota House is up. We've got a real opportunity, I think, this time with the blue wave and people getting excited, people being active. We need that Minnesota House back in the hands of the Democrats, and it is very attainable to get that this year, especially just with the metro area seats. We can, as you talked about, with stuff like transit. Clearly the Republicans don't care about the metro area, so these are seats that the Democrats should be able to pick up.
Well, absolutely. There are a number of legislative seats in the metro area, the suburban seats especially, where there are some Republicans that are much more extreme in their voting record than their districts, if their districts only knew, including Representative Loon in Eden Prairie, Representative Anderson in Plymouth, both of whom, fought the gun legislation. They introduced their own fig leaves to try to claim that they were trying to do something about it, but couldn't even get a hearing on those. I think if we make some issues like gun violence critical enough in those elections and hold them accountable for their inaction, then we're going to drive people to the polls on those issues, and we can retake those seats. If we have any kind of a wind at our back for Democrats nationally, that's going to help us a lot. The governor's race is going to drive a lot of turnout, too. Mm-hmm. In the 3rd District, we've got, what will be a hard-fought race to unseat Representative Paulson. I think we're going to be able to win that race, too, and it's going to drive a lot of attention. So I really think we've got a good chance metro-wide to take back enough seats to recapture the House and to hang on to the governor's race. But let me tell you, it's going to be a lot of work. There's a lot of money coming into the state from around the country on these races, and we're going to need a lot of people to pay attention and get out and work hard to make it happen.
Ron Latz is senator from District 46. He's my senator. He's a fantastic senator, and he's been just an absolute champion for Minnesotans, caring about all the constituents in the states, not just his own Senate district. And by God, I want to thank you for your brave stances on gun control, because without you, that would have never even – I don't think there would have been any conversation at all about it. At least you force these people to have to vote it down and say that we're not going to talk about that. At least there is someone up there with common sense when it came to that issue, and I'm very grateful that you were there, sir.
Thank you, Matt.
My pleasure. Senator Ron Latz is Democrat of the day. We'll spotlight that interview. We'll take a break and come on back. When we do come on back, I want to just piggyback a little bit on what Senator Latz just said. There is a lot of Republicans that are about to try to make themselves into something they never were. We'll talk about that when I do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
No matter what your taste, you'll find the music you're looking for at the Electric Fetus. Pick from rock, pop, international, roots music, and so much more on CD and vinyl. Or create your own compilation of favorites with the exclusive Mix and Burn CD station, only available at the Electric Fetus. Dust off your vinyl or just make some space by turning your unwanted music into cash. The used selection changes daily, so check out the new arrivals often. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Someone asked if I really do love my Rudy Luther Toyota Sienna as much as I say I do. Well, this week I've got groceries, a Target run, 7 sports practices with carpooling for 4 of them, 2 games, 3 music lessons, 4-H, dance, helping a friend move. We'll also probably have 3 play dates. I'll have to drive to work and I'll have at least 1 weekend family outing. Yes, it's a lot, but I get to do it all in relaxing comfort and style. Yes, I do love my Sienna, and you can fall in love for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 on Monday mornings at 7:30. This Monday, I'll talk about an American legend, Jackie Robinson, the first professional baseball player to break the color barrier. I'll share some things that you didn't know about Jackie, like he, too, refused to give up his seat on a bus. I respect him even more after just a little research. I've got a vision of a better world where everyone has a place at the table. Ellie 2.0, engaging in real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Have you ever wondered what it was like to be an artist in the Soviet Union? I'm Vladimir von Surikov, director of the Museum of Russian Art, and I invite you to explore our exhibition Art in Conflict, running through September 1st. It juxtaposes Soviet socialist realist against nonconformist artists from the latter decades of the Cold War. This is a rare chance to see connections and conflicts inside the Soviet art world. For more information, visit tmora.org.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Matt McNeil Show. Once again, Senator Ron Latch, just a fantastic senator. I've been very happy that he is my senator. And, yeah, one of the few guys that's got the guts to go on out there and you know, shout at these people. These Republicans are obnoxious. I mean, they are beyond obnoxious. June 5th at 6 p.m. at the St. Louis Park City Hall Council Chambers, Ron Latch, Cheryl Youakim, and Peggy Flanagan are all going to be there. They're going to have their own town hall meeting. Hey, Republicans, this is what's called a town hall, where you basically just invite anyone in to have a conversation. It's an open thing. You can't kind of limit the attendance to only people who aren't going to be meeting pencils, do you? Hey, there, Jason Lewis, you little coward. Anywho, once again, this is going to be June 5th, 6 p.m., St. Louis Park City Hall Council Chambers, with Ron Latch, Cheryl Youakim, Representative Youakim, and Representative Peggy Flanagan, so you can stop on by and catch that. But this Ron Latch is right. There are a lot of Republicans who have been voting in extreme measures, who, just by the conversation that Senator Latch and I just had, basically are in the pocket of multiple lobbyists. They don't give a rat's butt about their constituents. Jennifer Loon does not care about her constituents. Sarah Anderson does not care about her constituents. Dario Anselmo does not care about his constituents. These guys in the metro area, they don't. They just care about getting reelected, filling out their Rolodex, and getting that cush lobbying gig when they get done. That's what they care about. And so they basically pander everything that they do, everything down to the wealthiest of wealthy. And now all of them are about to go through this dramatic makeover where they're all now going to be, well, I was always kind of middle of the road. Bull crap. They never were. And these bills that got vetoed, they are proof of it. They live in the metro area, the 16th largest city in the United States of America, and the Republicans in a state with a 5.5 million person population, a city has 3.5 million of them in there, and not $1 for transit. Not one. Not $1 for Duluth, not $1 for Rochester, not $1 for St. Cloud, and nothing for Minneapolis-St. Paul. Don't let these Republicans lie to you. They're not moderates. They are far-right extremists, and it's time for them to all go. Vote them out en masse, and let's fix this state before it gets damaged any further, thanks to Kurt freaking Doubt. McEntee's up next. We are back tomorrow with Chris Cluey. Until then, see ya.